It's been nearly 18 months since Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico. The blackout after the storm caused a lot of the island's health system to collapse. For months, the Puerto Rican government insisted that fewer than 100 people died from the disaster. Now the official estimate is nearly 3,000. Tom Dreisbach from the NPR podcast Embedded has the story of how one family navigated through the chaos.
Saida Maldonado has lived most of her life in the mountains in the middle of Puerto Rico, along with her husband, Luis, and her two kids and their dogs. One of her kids, Javier, was born in 1999, and he was diagnosed with a rare genetic disorder called Smith-Lemli-Opitz syndrome. When he was a toddler, a doctor only gave Javier a couple years to live. But Saida told me, through an interpreter, that the doctor was wrong.
So she feels it's a sign from God that he wants to stay on this earth with her.
Still, Javier could not talk or walk. The only way he was able to breathe was with a ventilator, which pumped air into his lungs through a tube in his throat. And that ventilator ran on electricity. Then, come September 2017. 2 days before Hurricane Maria is set to make landfall, Saida says she gets a call from Puerto Rico's health department. The health official says that they should go to the local emergency room before the storm. They say if the power goes out, the ER has backup supplies, plus its own generator. So Saida, her husband, and her two kids go to the ER, and the hurricane makes landfall. By midday, the entire island has lost power. All communication goes down. No landlines, no cell phones. Inside the ER, Saida and her family are actually feeling okay. The generator kicks on, and there's electricity to power Javier's ventilator. But over the next few days, things start to change. Saida says food, water, and medical supplies are starting to run low. And even though the roads are flooded, Luis, Saida's husband, takes the risk of driving home to get more supplies. Then, a few hours later, a nurse comes to Saida and says there's a problem. The ER has to shut down the generator. If they just leave it on, it'll overheat and blow out. They can't take care of Javier anymore, and the family has to leave within about 2 hours. Saida says, we have to wait for my husband. But the nurse says there's no time. Saida has a car there, but she's terrified of driving through the flooded roads. So the staff at the ER managed to call an ambulance to transfer them to a hospital the next town over. But then the ambulance won't take them. The paramedic says that transferring patients from hospital to hospital is not an emergency.
She doesn't know how in such a moment you could be so inhumane.
In the end, despite the danger, Saida decides to drive herself and her two kids to the second hospital. They load up into Saida's car, where there's a special plug that connects Javier's ventilator to the engine. The hospital in the town of Aibonito is much larger, so Saida expects it will be more prepared. After all, this is where they were told to go.
Describe just what it looked like at the hospital in Aibonito.
Aibonito era un caos total.
Total chaos.
Gente gritando.
Saida says there are people screaming, people asking desperately for dialysis or insulin for their diabetes or the chemotherapy drugs to treat their cancer. But this hospital does have the one thing Saida desperately needs right now, electricity. And at this point, that actually makes it an outlier. Almost a week after the hurricane made landfall, FEMA said only 11 out of 69 hospitals either had electricity or fuel for generators. That means the vast majority had no power for basics like x-rays, IVs, sterilized operating rooms, or ventilators. Meanwhile, Luis, Saida's husband, is searching for his family, and he finds them at the hospital. But the relief of finding each other doesn't last long. Javier has a weak immune system, and the hospital is a breeding ground for the sort of bacteria that could kill him. So, after about 5 days in this hospital, Saida and Luis decide the safest thing is to just go home.
Nos vamos y que sea lo que Dios quiera.
They do not have electricity there, but they do have a generator. So now the goal of every day is to find enough diesel to keep it running. They scrape by on donations, they get some money from FEMA, but Luis says it's not enough. And from September 2017 until the next February, they do not have power. One night, Luis is checking on the ventilator, and Javier starts having convulsions. Then he stops breathing. Luis starts CPR. Several minutes go by.
Did you think he could pass away in that moment?
Claro.
Yeah.
Claro. Estamos conscientes de esa situación.
We're conscious of in any moment that could happen.
Finally, Javier's lungs and heart start working again. He's alive. But Luis is just fed up. So he goes to a radio station to try to talk about Javier's story. They actually put him on. The host says, so you've been without running water or electricity for more than 130 days? And Luis says, yeah. Then the host asks how Javier is doing. Luis says, Javier's stable. Thank God he's stable. But they need help. And his visit to the radio station actually works. It takes about a month, but a volunteer crew from a power company in Illinois helps fix the grid in their neighborhood. There's this video of the moment when Saida and Luis finally flip the circuit breaker on at the house. As the lights come on, Saida covers her face with her hands and starts to cry. They have power, and Javier is alive. But of course, they know how close they came. Thousands of people did not survive the storm and its aftermath.
Most people that died did not die those first 72 hours. They died weeks and months after.
Amaya Sosa Pascual runs Puerto Rico's Center for Investigative Journalism. And she says, of course, a massive hurricane is always going to be bad. But she says many deaths were a result of the failures by both the Puerto Rican and federal governments. From the lack of disaster planning, to the inaccurate death toll that minimized the scale of the disaster, to the disorganized effort to restore power.
That's not part of nature. That's part of the human incompetence.
President Trump has rejected any criticism and says the federal government's response was a, quote, 10 out of 10. Puerto Rico's governor, Ricardo Rosselló, did not respond to our requests for comment. But in the past, he has said he takes responsibility for his government's failures. But the key to preventing another disaster like Hurricane Maria is a working, resilient power grid. And Puerto Rico still does not have that. When I was talking to Saida Maldonado, all of a sudden she had to interrupt the interview. The power actually went out. She had to check on Javier and make sure the generator was working. She says this still happens a lot.
Hurricane Maria is not over for you yet.
No, prácticamente no. Eso lo volvemos a revivir otra vez, nuevamente.
She says they're reliving it again. Tom Dreisbach, NPR News.